This is your host, Danny, and this is Word Power from English Plus Podcast. In today's episode, we're going to talk about President Lincoln and the beginning of his second term. And along the way, we're going to learn 10 new words in context. And let me tell you about these words that we're going to learn. The words we're going to learn today are emerge, gaunt, solemn, subside, shroud, omen, perish, malice, charity, and cherish. So, you're interested? Of course you are. I hope you will be interested not only in the words, but the story in which we're going to learn these words in context. But let me remind you that if you would like to make the most of this episode, take the link you can find in the description and go to my website, EnglishPlusPodcast.com. There you will find everything you need, especially for this episode, to practice what you're learning and make these words part of your active vocabulary bank. And for my patrons, of course, there is the extra PDF practice worksheet in which you will have more exercises and review of the previous 4 Word Power episodes. So for the ones who are not patrons yet, what are you waiting for? There's a second link in the description that will take you to my Patreon page, become a patron, and enjoy all our premium benefits. And now, without further ado, let's start with today's episode, Lincoln Begins His Second Term. Historians have called the Civil War the defining moment in American history, a time when the issue of whether the states could be truly united would ultimately be answered. More than anyone else, Abraham Lincoln is credited with holding the Union of States together. Even though many people now consider Lincoln the greatest American president, he was often scorned and ridiculed while he was in office. In fact, just a few short months before the voters cast their ballots in 1864, many felt Lincoln had little chance of winning re-election. People had grown tired of the war, and President Lincoln's popularity was at an all-time low. But Lincoln did win re-election, and on March 4, 1865, the citizens of Washington gathered at the Capitol to witness his second oath of office. The scene has been recorded in numerous diaries and newspaper accounts. All was quiet. Lincoln was about to emerge from the crowd, mount the podium, and raise his right hand to take his second oath of office. The weather was dark and gloomy. Lincoln's tall, gaunt appearance seemed in perfect keeping with the dismal gray of the sunless sky. When the assembled crowd saw their president, the solemnity of the occasion gave way to applause. It rose to a powerful roar, then just as quickly subsided. At that exact moment, the sun broke through the gray clouds that had shrouded the scene since early morning, and shafts of sunlight shone on the speaker's platform. Many who witnessed the scene and recorded it in their diary saw this as an omen of good things to come in Lincoln's second term. Lincoln had been forced to accept war rather than let the nation perish. But now the outcome of the bloodiest conflict in American history seemed clear, and unlike those who sought to punish the South, Lincoln deeply desired that the nation become one again. He moved to the center of the platform and unfolded a single sheet of paper. As he began to speak, it was clear to everyone that his mind was now on peace, not war. And here's what he said: with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. With that, Lincoln ended the shortest swearing-in speech since George Washington's inauguration. So, that was our story. I hope you learned something new, and I hope it was inspiring in a way. But let me remind you again, we are here to learn 10 words in context. And what are these words? Again, these words are emerge, gaunt, solemn, subside, shroud, omen, perish, malice, charity, and cherish. So now, let's start with our very first word. Don't go away. So our very first word is emerge, E-M-E-R-G-E. Let's take a look at how we use that in context. We said Lincoln was about to emerge from the crowd, mount the podium, and raise his right hand to take his second oath of office. So what does it mean to emerge? To emerge means to come out from an enclosed or dark space, such as a room or a vehicle, or from a position where you could not be seen. Maybe because there's a big crowd and it is not easy to spot someone in the crowd, although it was very easy to spot Lincoln because he was tall. But anyway, that is the meaning of emerge, to come out, to appear, to surface. So Lincoln was about to emerge from the crowd. That was our first word, emerge. The second word is gaunt. G-A-U-N-T. Let's take a look at how we use that in context. We said Lincoln's tall, gaunt appearance seemed in perfect keeping with the dismal gray and the sunless sky. What does it mean to look gaunt? If someone looks gaunt, they look very thin, usually because they have been very ill or worried. So it is like saying skinny or skeletal, but remember, we usually use that to hint to the fact that they might have been very ill or worried, which led to their being very thin. That is gaunt. It's a very special word. It's not exactly like thin, right? So that was our second word. What about the third word? Solemn. And in context, we used it in its noun form, solemnity, but it is the same meaning anyway. So let's take a look at how we use it in context. We said, when the assembled crowd saw their president, the solemnity of the occasion gave way to applause. Now, how do we spell solemn? It's S-O-L-E-M-N. Solemnity, of course, we add I-T-Y to it. But let's get back to the word. Solemn. What does that mean? Someone or something that is solemn is very serious rather than cheerful or humorous. Back then, it was not the time to be cheerful because a lot of people had died and it was the bloodiest conflict in American history. So there was no time to be cheerful, to be happy, or just happy because of the re-election. There was this solemnity of the occasion, the solemnity, solemn. Someone or something that is solemn, remember, is very serious rather than cheerful or humorous. All right, so that is our third word. Let's move to the fourth word for today, and that is subside, S-U-B-S-I-D-E. How did we use that in context? Now, when Lincoln took the podium, there was applause, and the applause rose to a powerful roar, but then just as quickly subsided. So, what does it mean to subside? We're talking about noise here, right? Because applause is a kind of noise. But we can use that as well for feelings. We can use it for other things as well. But here in context, if a feeling or noise subsides, it becomes less strong or loud. And here we're talking about the applause, so we're talking about the noise that became less loud. Because the president was about to start speaking. And remember, we are talking about an occasion, and this occasion is solemn, the solemnity of the occasion, right? So the applause quickly subsided, quickly became less strong or loud. That was our word. Now let's move to the next one, and this one is shroud, S-H-R-O-U-D. How did we use that in context? Now, here we're talking about the weather, and we said at that exact moment, the sun broke through the gray clouds that had shrouded the scene since early morning, and shafts of sunlight shone on the speaker's platform. So here we're talking about gray clouds that shrouded the scene. What does that mean, the word shroud? Darkness, fog, or smoke shrouds an area. It covers it so that it is difficult to see. That is the meaning of shroud. There was no sunlight. Now, of course, according to diaries and according to accounts of people there, they said that at that very moment, shafts of sunlight shone on the speaker's platform. Now, maybe that was a little bit of an exaggeration, but it is perfectly fitting for a historical moment. But anyway, that was not our word. Our word was shroud. Remember, if darkness, fog, or smoke shrouds an area, it covers it so that it is difficult to see. All right, let's move on to our next word, omen. How did we use that in context? We said many who witnessed the scene and recorded it in their diary saw this as an omen of good things to come in Lincoln's second term. So would we talk about an omen? Are we talking about a good thing or a bad thing? A good sign or a bad sign? Because omen practically means sign. Now, if you say that something is an omen, you think it indicates what is likely to happen in the future and whether it will be good or bad. Now, I will have to say that we usually use omen to talk about a bad thing that will happen, but that doesn't mean that we can't use it to talk about good things. Don't get me wrong. But usually, people use the word omen for bad things and sign for good things. But of course, you can use omen or sign to talk about good things or bad things that will happen in the future. So that was just a sign. It is not something that actually happened. No, that was just an omen. All right, so remember, people there saw this as an omen of good things to come in Lincoln's second term. So that was the word omen. What about the next word, perish? P-E-R-I-S-H. Now, we said Lincoln had been forced to accept war rather than let the nation perish. We use that to talk about living beings. So if people or animals perish, they die as a result of very harsh conditions or as the result of an accident. So it simply means to die or to be killed or lost, but it has a dramatic effect. It's not just like to die. Now imagine we say here, Lincoln had been forced to accept war rather than let the nation die. It doesn't have the same effect. It doesn't have the same dramatic effect. Perish is a bigger word. And it's not just a bigger word. It is a word that has a special meaning. To die as a result of very harsh conditions. All right? So that was our word, perish. Now for the next word, malice. And we take that from what he actually said in his speech. He said, with malice toward none, with charity for all. Now, malice toward none. He was not vengeful. He did not want to punish the South because, after all, it was one nation. It was a bloody, unfortunate civil war, but it was the same nation. And he didn't want to tear the nation apart now that he was winning, so he would punish the South. He didn't want to do that. He said, malice toward none, with malice toward none, with charity for all. Now, let's start with malice. Charity is the next word. Malice, M-A-L-I-C-E. Now, malice is very bad. It's behavior that is intended to harm people or their reputations or cause them embarrassment and upset. So it is definitely something that comes out of hatred, malice. It's even worse, of course. So here he said, with malice toward none. He did not want malice toward anybody. And of course, here he was specifically talking about the South. He didn't want malice toward anybody. And later on, of course, he said peace, not only for Americans, but for Americans and the world. Peace with everybody. But let's focus on what he said next. He said malice toward none with charity for all. C-H-A-R-I-T-Y, charity. Now, of course, you know charity when we talk about donations and giving money to people who need it or to organizations who need it. That's all charity and we know that. But the fundamental meaning of charity is not only donations and giving money or something like that. Charity is kindness and understanding towards other people. Affection, kindness, compassion. That is the meaning of charity. So that should tell us something very important about charity or the famous meaning of charity nowadays, which is donating money. If that happens without affection or kindness or compassion, it is not complete. Charity is not complete. And obviously, in context, the charity Lincoln talked about is the kindness, is the love, the affection, the compassion for all. He said, with malice toward none, with charity for all. And now we are left with one last word we're going to talk about in today's episode, and this one is cherish, C-H-E-R-I-S-H. Let's take a look at how we use that in context. Now, Lincoln said in his speech, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. So, what do we mean by cherish here? It is like to honor, to love, to preserve, to safeguard. Now, sometimes we talk about cherishing memories, and that happens when you remember something that is dear to you and you cherish this memory. But here, cherish is a little bit different. If you cherish a right, a privilege, or a principle, you regard it as important and try hard to keep it, to preserve it, to safeguard this peace. Because that was peace that didn't come easy. That was a hard-fought peace, and they need to cherish it. They need to safeguard it, to preserve it. That is the meaning of cherish in this context. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode, the 10 words we talked about in context. I hope you learned something new. I hope you learned new words you can use in your own writing and speaking. And remember, if you want to really make the most of this episode, and if you really want to build your vocabulary, you need to practice what you're learning. And I got you covered. There's a link in the description of this episode that will take you to my website, EnglishPlusPodcast.com. And the link will take you directly to a special post I created for this episode, where you will have the chance to practice these 10 words and to cement them as part of your active vocabulary bank. So, what are you waiting for? Take the link and take your English with it. Take your vocabulary building with it to the next level. And of course, again, for my patrons, there is this premium PDF worksheet that I'm going to send you on Patreon. There you will have more exercises and you will have a chance to practice the words we learned in the previous 4 Word Power episodes. Now that being said, this is your host, Danny. I would like to thank you very much for listening to another episode from English Plus Podcast. I will see you next time.